on SAFM.
The Department of Trade and Industry and the Agricultural Research Council have projected that the current cannabis industry in South Africa is worth 14 billion rand. And by 2024, this could double to 28 billion rand, making up 70% of the estimated African market. While the regulatory landscape remains shifting, what is increasingly clear from international precedent is that cannabis is fast becoming so-called green gold, with promising returns for those early market entrants with the requisite financial wherewithal and appetite for risk. To talk to us on the green gold economy, we joined on the line by associate in the dispute resolution practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, Shad Vaed. Shad, good morning and welcome to the Weekend View.
Good morning, Uru. Thank you for having me on the show.
That number of 14 billion rand, is that what trade and industry thinks the cannabis industry should be worth, or is that its actual worth in 2021?
Well, I mean, those are projected figures, and I mean, these figures do depend on certain legislative developments, and that should take place in the economy over the foreseeable future. However, that number can go. I mean, it can go up. It can go down. It really depends on how things. And how things play out. But what is clear is that cannabis is it's a fast growing, excuse the pun, industry.
The fact that the legislative framework is being geared towards the expansion of this industry makes me curious about just what is being done to open up the market, so to say.
Well, I mean, in September 2018, the Constitutional Court in the seminal case of Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development versus Prince and others. So basically, it legalized the private use and possession of cannabis by adults in private places for personal consumption. Mm. So what that did is legalized the private growing of cannabis by private persons. So accordingly, the Medicines Act, the Medicines Related Substances Act, as well as the Drugs and Trafficking Act, were amended such that it's not a crime for a person to farm cannabis in for their personal consumption.
Mm.
So that allowed a lot more people to farm cannabis privately, and destigmatize the use of and farming of cannabis.
Mm.
However, the Concord didn't decide what sort of quantity constitutes personal consumption.
Mm.
To date, we have no binding legislation in place which determines what quantities could reasonably seem to be to constitute personal consumption. So whether that should be a quantity-based approach thing is a different matter. But I think it's important to note that the buying and selling of cannabis is still illegal, and discretion is given to the SAPS to arrest and charge persons suspected of trafficking cannabis.
Mm.
However, from the more commercial context, there are two forms of licenses available which cater to types of growing. These are, firstly, a hemp cultivation license, and that is specifically for industrial hemp.
Mm.
And a medicinal cannabis cultivation license. And these are available through SAHPRA, the South African Health Products Authority.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the license conditions, that enables license holders on licensed premises to cultivate, process, manufacture, and distribute, import, and export cannabis.
Is this where the growth in the green gold market is going to come from for the foreseeable future?
Well, I think a lot of the, definitely a lot of the serious money behind cannabis is going to come from these licensing and from these sort of registered farms, strictly controlled conditions, because of the large demand for pharmaceutical cannabis across globally. This means that, you know, we would have to have, and we are getting to the place where we've got very high quality, very controlled setups where at internationally competitive standards. And I mean, for your average person on the street, there's a recreational cannabis market, but then there's the market that's where the real money sits, and that's in the medicinal space. But that's not to discount the value that the recreational market can have.
Truth be told, I mean, South Africa should be one of the market leaders the world over. What does SA Inc. have to do to get out of its own way so that we can maximize the money made in marijuana, in cannabis?
Well, I personally think that the recreational market does need to open up a little bit more. You see, the way that the legislative framework currently sits, it says, yes, you're allowed to grow cannabis, but you're not allowed, I mean, where do you buy seeds? Where do you buy, where do you obtain sort of cannabis growing materials? And if the draft bill for, it's the draft cannabis for private purposes bill is anything to go by, the state sort of still considers these cultivation materials as cannabis, and so buying and selling them is, in their eyes, illegal. And that completely ignores the commercial reality of the situation in that, you know, it does cost money. It's, especially if you're going to do high-quality cannabis, there's light involved. There's an electricity cost, an increasing electricity cost in this country. And you know, until that opens up, it the recreational market is stifled somewhat.
Okay.
However, there are movements being made. There's currently a case sitting before the Cape Town High Court regarding which looks at the legality of the grow club model. I'm not too sure if you'd like me to go into a bit of detail.
Look, we're running up against the clock, but I do want to pick up on this court case on a subsequent show. But maybe just pray see for us what's at stake in that case.
So basically, what that case would do is, if the court says that the grow club model is within the bounds of the law, it would allow the individuals to it would allow people to sublet certain properties, which would enable them to grow cannabis on behalf of others. To do that, I mean, that would almost go around the law and say, or it would be within the law, but it would almost go around and say, well, fine, now we have a form of recreational cannabis farming, which is legal. And can you imagine the sort of taxable income from that? These are legitimate businesses. These are compliant with company law and consumer protection law and that kind of thing. And even if you're not a cannabis user, even if you never touch the stuff, the indirect benefits you see from that through job creation, through taxable income to the economy, and on the consumer spending side of GDP, it shows very promising effects for the rest of the economy.
All right. Other than this case, though, there's no sign that government is going to ease off and make it easier then, huh?
Well, when it comes to the medicinal cannabis side, which, like we said earlier, that's where the real money sits, there's no sign that they're easing the access to market in that regard. And it does also make sense because SAHPRA these are going to be products that are consumed by your average person. It does require a certain level of safety. And to compete at international standards, it does require a level of standardization.
Okay. I got you. Shad Vaij, very interesting chatting with you. Thank you very much for your time on The Weekend View.
Cheers. Thanks,
Good to have you. And there we go. Associate in the dispute resolution practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. And I think that case that he speaks of, it is one that we should maybe look into and just see what implications it may have. Folks, that is our lot for the morning. Thank you very much for adding your voices to the conversation. And also thanks to the team of producers, Isanda Jonas and Baru Mokekana, senior producer Evelyn Tongwane, technical producer Mark Preller, and our executive producer Aubrey Sicha. We are out of here. The Jet Set Breakfast is up next with Michelle Constant. Right now, though, let's find out what's happening in the world. It's 7 a.m.
Introducing...